Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I think Court Kessel's seat's getting hot, which is tough. It's her first season. How do you sit there and say a coach's seat is getting hot in the first season? But you want to look at it. You want to look at the talent that's around there. It's a bad look for the league when you have Hillary Knight out of the playoffs. You want me to be candid and honest about it? It's a bad look for the league. If that's the case, and yet you're staring that in the face.
What's brewing, everybody? Welcome in to the show. What show? The show. The Bruins and Bruins podcast of the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Oliver. And the presented by Bruins diehards and diehards to be named later of the PWHL variety. Spoiler alert, we have Oliver Antone on, who's running all things over it, the diehards to be named later. We've also got Drew. We do not have Chris right now. We're actually throwing him on the long-term injury reserve for salary cap purposes heading into the playoffs. So we'll reactivate him as soon as we can bend the rules. But let's get right into it. I want to talk a little P-Dub and a little bit of Boston Bruins action here. But first, Drew's got a very exciting drink to debut tonight. So Drew, I feel like this one's in honor of Chris, despite him not being
here. Yes, it is, with the dog and all. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is a Lava Chihuahua IPA. For those at home or on the road, you cannot see this. It's just for us. Google it at some point if you're not driving.
Cool can.
It's got a volcano in the background and just a chihuahua. I hope the chihuahua is okay. He seems to be paddle boarding away from the from the volcano.
Anyway. Usually you don't want to be going toward the volcano if it's erupting, so that seems like a good move.
It's from Foulmouth Brewery here in Maine, right over the bridge in South Portland. Drinkability is pretty low. It's definitely a very heavy IPA, just in terms of taste. I don't think it's like super heavy alcohol-wise. It's 6.7, so decent. Drinkability, I'll go like the 16. Tastability, it's a little bit muted in a way, like the hoppiness and all. It's like not, it's hoppy, but not like super duper. Tastability will go 23 for an IPA.
Very nice, very nice. Oliver, welcome to the show. How you doing? I feel like we should have introed you first a little bit harder, but
no, I mean, you know, the show part. Hanging. It did a great question of what we're hanging in on. coming off of the worst sore throat of my life, as in 2 days ago, I straight up could not talk. So we're just binging in the water right now. Drinkability comes in on the 14 out of 14 on previous captains who might be returning.
Yep. So, that's what we call a teaser in the biz right there.
Tastability, I think, has to come 14 out of 14 on that scale. You'd be surprised. I feel like if I don't drink this daily, I can't live. So that's just
fun. It's a necessity, some say.
Yeah.
Yeah. My drink is also a necessity. I have a little bit of the broth from the soup that I'm making right now. So let's see how this goes. It's a chicken stock base. It's got a lot of vegetables, like a lot. I'm talking peppers, onions, kale, leeks, garlic, potatoes, a little kielbasa in there. So that part presumably is not drinkable. I think I got mostly just broth here. So let's give it a shot.
This is good video content.
Oh, wow. On the internet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll be going back for seconds there, no doubt. Drinkability, pretty high. I think I'm going to have to limit it at like a, I'm going to say like a 16, which I guess comes in at like a 7-ish on the other scale. Just because there are a lot of things in there. I mean, it's a pretty hefty soup. This is, I'm not a no broth soup kind of person. I want my soup to be chunky, feels like the wrong word, but you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in there. Tasteability,
the chunkiness scale.
The chunkiness scale. Yeah, tasteability through the roof, 37 out of 37, 14 out of 14. It's going to be delicious tonight. My girlfriend doesn't know how lucky she is. I'll just leave it there. But anyway, she's going to listen to this later and be like, what the? No, but let's get to it. All soup aside, we're here to talk a little P-Dub action. It was a pretty scary start to the season for PWHL Boston. They've rebounded a little bit here. Obviously, maybe not obviously for people who haven't been following as closely, but they did announce that the top four out of six teams would make the playoffs going into the postseason for the inaugural year here of the PWHL. Boston right now is in the fourth spot with the game in hand, 2 points ahead of both Ottawa and New York. So a bit of a bounce back, but still, you know, a good ways to go here. About a month, 2 months, I think, left here in the regular season. Oliver, big scale, we'll start there. How are you feeling after a very rocky start to the season, but in contention for a playoff spot? You just got to be in it to win it. What's the vibe at right now for you?
We've seen weirder happen in women's hockey, you know, not to consistently be referencing the predecessors, but I mean, you saw 2021 ring for the Pride come from a four seed. You've seen the 2022 was them as the three seed. You want to talk about the CW, if you want to talk about other predecessors, Calgary Inferno, I can't remember exactly what their seed was, but the final champions, you know, taking down top seeded Montreal, you know, so when it comes down to it, you know, it's an extremely exciting season, and the parity in this league is insane. You know, a month into the season, the joke was the top five are, there's so much parity. It's hard to Toronto, and Toronto being six because they just had this brutal start. So, you know, they're on seven in a row now. It might be coming in on eight in a row. So you want to talk about catch lightning in a bottle in this league, and it's something special, and you can catch up to it and just kind of be rolling through. And you look at that, and you look at Toronto, and you see that. So being in the playoffs, anything can happen, especially when you look at Montreal and Boston. All three of those games have been close. I guess if you want to look at the most recent one, that's kind of been, I guess, the closest to a blowout or a tough game for Boston, as you can see. But the prior two go to OT. Boston takes it on the road. Toronto takes it on the, or Montreal, sorry, takes it on the road. So there's a lot of parity in this league, and you can tell it. And that top tier talent that especially a lot was talked about with bringing into this league, these Olympians, these higher level players that, whether I don't 100% agree that the PW Clans was not in the PHF, it's hard to argue and say, though, these top players from both leagues playing at the top of their game is creating an incredible product. So it's paying off dividend after dividend and put you in a playoff spot. Yeah, it's anyone's game at that point.
Yeah, how confident, I guess, are you? I mentioned just the 2-point gap separating four and both the five and six spots. That's a closer race right now than getting into the top three for Boston, but not to put you on the spot and say you have to slap a percentage on it necessarily, but how confident are you that this team can get the job done these next 2 weeks over the course of the regular season and find themselves in a playoff spot come postseason time?
Not confident at all. I'm not going to lie. I think Court Kessel's seat's getting hot, which is tough. It's her first season. How do you sit there and say a coach's seat is getting hot in the first season? But you want to look at it. You want to look at the talent that's around there. It's a bad look for the league when you have Hillary Knight out of the playoffs. You want me to be mm-hmm. candid and honest about it? It's a bad look for the league. If that's the case, and yet you're staring that in the face. So this team's got to figure it out. And you can tell from how Boston's panicking, how some of the rumored trades that are out there, some of the trades that have already happened, you're trading for scorers. You're getting rid of defense to try and put points up because you know, Erin Frankel is trying to do her best out there, but she's not living up to this expectation. I think some of that comes of shaking the rust off a little bit, and it's hard for a player like that that's kind of been traveling a bit around. You want to look at goalies that are doing the best in the league right now? It's PHF goalies. Elaine Truling is killing it. Corinne Schroeder is killing it. I don't want to discount what Nicole Hensley is doing out there, and Minnesota's goaltending is phenomenal as well, but these international players that have been bouncing around and traveling for the rivalry series are in the tough spots when it comes to goaltending. I mean, again, Hensley is very clearly an exception to that, the elite player that she is. But you want to look at that, and you're putting that. It seems like they've started to steer the ship right. They're not doing the every other goalie now. They're clearly trying to let Frankel catch her groove, catch her rhythm, because I think that worked well for her at Northeastern. You want to sit and look at her? She didn't. The goalie line for it was Erin Frankel and who? ? On all of Northeastern's goal sheets whenever Erin Frankel was on that team. And they were trying to, you know, you can't really call it a dynasty because they didn't win anything. But, you know, when they were making what was a pseudo women's hockey dynasty. And so I think they're trying to let her catch her rhythm. I think you're seeing Knight heat up. So I think it's 50-50. I'm worrisome about it. I haven't loved what I'm seeing from this team this year. They show these amazing sparks and these blowout wins that they pull out and in these tight, close games. And then that first game versus Ottawa and that back, it wasn't really a back-to-back, but in that kind of home and home, it wasn't even a home and home, those two home games back-to-back with Ottawa, that first game was just brutal and ugly. You didn't show up at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a tough one to watch. I think out of those two, I caught that one and not the one where they won, which was unfortunate.
But, same. We had basketball practice the night that they won. I'm walking out and I checked the score and they won. What am I watching?
And in that big skid that they had, really none of the top scorers were coming out there. Like Mueller was pretty much silent. I think had a point in those four losses, and then Gable maybe had a goal in there. But it was, you know, it kind of added up that, well, if the top goal scorers aren't scoring, then you're not going to win.
Goal scorers, Morgan Geeky putting it in the puck in the net, right?
Oh, no, yeah. I forgot they're on right now. Jesus.
Yeah, we should caveat. Yeah, we're recording this during Bruins lease. So if it goes well, you can give that one to Oliver. If it goes poorly, you can blame that on Drew. That's kind of a rule of thumb. But yeah. Oliver, you did mention goaltending as a potential area of concern, at least rockiness. But the other thing that stands out to me is the offense, which, you know, I think is, checking the stats here, the lowest producing offense in the league right now. Again, asterisk, they've played one fewer game than New York, and they've only scored one fewer goal. So that could change. You dig into that a little bit more, power play has been atrocious. Just no other way of putting it. 6.7% is grossly unacceptable. And that's the type of thing that can really change games and change seasons over the course of a full season. So I'm curious if you have any thoughts there on any adjustments maybe that they have made or should be making, or if it's just the system entirely that's been failing them.
You put emphasis on a roster of names and you run into this problem. And it's the same problem that Team USA's women's team has run into for the last couple of seasons. It seems like after the Olympics, they still made it. And, you know, 2019 was still a very exciting women's world. Finland, I'm American, so I'm inclined to say that wasn't a goal from an unbiased opinion. I think it was a goal, but either way. The Team USA kind of stagnated at 2019 and then was like, oh, well, we have these stars that stick with them, and then didn't change from coaching to players to everything. And PWHL Boston is running on that and running on those fumes. And I loved Gigi Marvin when she played through the Pride. I still love Gigi Marvin. I think she's a great player. I think she's a great player. I don't think she should have come out of retirement for this. I think she's on the roster because she's Gigi Marvin, because she's a Team USA player. When in reality, my two cents, Sammy Davis would have fit the roster better. And now Sammy Davis is going to Ottawa. You know? And I think they're both very similar players. Ironically enough, when you pit them against each other, I think Sammy's a little tougher. I think Gigi's got a little bit of a wrist shot than Sammy, if you want to get down to technicalities of it, but they're both very similar players in what I watch and in what I see. And so I think Sammy Davis, a little bit of that speed because Sammy Davis is fast and significantly faster than GG Martin. But you shelved Sammy Davis, and now she's off to bigger and better things with the PWHL Ottawa. I think that she's going to prove a lot of people wrong. You know, you want to look at it, you want to say it, you built the team on roster. Elena Mueller doesn't trust Hillary Knight. You can see it on the ice. You can watch it. You can see it because Elena Mueller is this fast player that, it sucks to say, isn't 34 years old. And it's hard because there are NHL players that are struggling at that age. Brad Marchand a week ago was like, said that, you know, he wants to play at least two more seasons. That number worries me. He's going to be getting into his late 30s. Sidney Crosby is getting into his late 30s. There just comes that drop-off that is natural for athletes, which sucks because there is this I'm trying to think of the word. There is this almost reaction every time you are critical of Hillary Knight because of her age, because she's Hillary freaking Knight, and it's, oh, you don't support women's sports. You don't like female athletes. No, she is at the natural point where athletes, and it just happens. And I'm sorry, no one, not everyone's Tom Brady. She's right at the point for an athlete where you dip off. And while Poulin is rocking in this season and rocking because she's freaking Marie-Philippe Poulin, she's 2 years younger than Hillary Knight. In 2 years, this cliff could be there because 2 years ago, Hillary Knight was still one of the scariest players in hockey. I just don't think she is anymore. And it shows him you're not trusting her. And Knight still has that slap shot. That's amazing. But where you see it is that wrister. Her wrister isn't there anymore. This deadly, you want to watch, you want to watch her in the NW. You want to watch her in the CW. You want to watch the 2018 Olympics and especially the 2019 Worlds. That wrist shot is electric. And when it's working for her, it's that. But people sit there and they shade this women's Worlds performance that she had at the last Worlds, but shout out gold medal. I'm happy for a gold medal. She did not have a good Worlds before that gold medal game. And so you're not trusting your players like Mueller and Gable, who Gable is creating chances. But go back and watch Gable's tape last year. Gable's playing the most minutes for the Pride, and so Gable's scoring the most goals for the Pride. She is creating the exact same amount of chances she has for herself, but she's creating less chances. Or she's getting less chances because she's on the ice less. Because she's a second-line forward, not a first-line forward now. And that's the difference for a player like Lauren Gable that creates her scoring chances. She's doing the exact same thing that she's doing, but with 16 minutes, that 2 minutes makes the difference as opposed to 14 minutes on ice. A game. It does. For a player like her and creating those chances, because she just needs it to crack that one time, and it showed when she went on a three-goal game scoring streak. When she cracks it, she cracks it. And she is this elite-level scorer, and the same thing is for Mueller. When they crack it, they crack it. But you look at this team, and you kind of look at how it's gearing and how it's going with this offense. You've built it on a name of names, on a team of names. That Hillary Knight's still great. Megan Keller's still great. I'm not saying that they're not. They're not as competitive for this league, and it shows. And, hell, you want to bring up power play? Callie Flanagan is leading the best power play in the league in Toronto. Former Pride player. Defensive scoring, Aneta Tejralova. Former Pride player. Best goaltending in the league, even though they're not on a great, she's not on a great squad. Corinne Schroeder. They broke this team up, and Danielle Martin had to make her own team. I'm not saying that she didn't. And I like the team that she built. I thought on paper that it looked great, but on paper it doesn't show you the true product and the age and stuff like that. And I like what she built, but there was this, all the teams kind of did it of, well, we don't want to rebuild the same teams that were in the PHF. But do you want to look who's succeeding? It's the teams with the most former Pride players.
Oliver, I'd be curious your thoughts. Like, you mentioned, obviously, Hillary Knight not producing at the rate that I think a lot of people expected coming into the season. On the flip side of that, you look at stat breakdowns for the team. Only two players with 10 or more points in double digits there, and one of them is Megan Keller, defenseman. Where do you feel is the bigger issue right now? Is it that the kind of the star players who'd expect to really step up aren't quite pulling enough weight, or is it more of a depth, you know, roster building issue? I think also, shouts to Pavel Zacha.
Oh yeah, no, Pop's just.
I can't get the game because the illegal streaming. The completely legal streaming service I use is not working right now.
But that's a tough one because part of it is coaching. I know that I don't want to keep feel like I'm hammering in that point, but Court Kessel's not doing what she needs to be doing, and it shows. I'm sorry, you want to look at this team. This team isn't great on defense. It's not. I love Fratty. But in this league, Fratty's a bottom six defender, which also goes to that Hillary Knight thing. I seriously love Fratty. Fratty is also reaching the point of an athlete where you start to drop off. And again, love Jillian Dempsey. You might see that in a season or two too for her. It just happens with age. But Fratty's your top four, sometimes in your top two pairing. And I love that. I love that she's getting minutes and she's making everything of those minutes. But she shouldn't be a top two defender in this league. She should be top four. I don't think she's a bottom six defender like she initially was on this team. But she should be on the top four of that. And that speaks its volumes of Palmara wouldn't let that happen. And Palmara would see that. And this team is built for Palmara's system. It is. It's young, fast talent. It's get it in gritty, get it in and go. And honestly, no team is going to beat us if we score more goals than them. And they're not implementing that strategy. They're implementing a conservative run it through the defense strategy. That's just not working. And Hillary Knight doesn't like to score like that. You know that. Megan Keller likes to score like that. It's like, it's why Megan Keller is thriving.
I was going to say, it seems to be working for Megan Keller, and that's about it right now going through the defense.
The Megan Keller system, yeah.
But you look at it, and it's just, it's not working. And then you got Abby Cook, who is a phenomenal player, played one game with the Pride, and then ironically enough was not the biggest fan of Paul Martin's system. At least that's my belief. There's no true, accurate statement of why she left the Pride after one game, but I needed to believe. I don't think she loved Mara's coaching, but you got another player that's doing the same thing that Megan Keller can do, but a little younger and with a little more development can be your next Megan Keller. I'm not saying that she can't. You're trying to build for this system when in reality you should be adjusting your system to what you've built. And that's not a knock on Court Kessel, because I think when you come from a team like Princeton, who again, shout out to fellow diehard Spencer Fischetti, you know, a former grad assistant at Princeton, but you look at a team like Princeton and that's how they build it and that's how they run it. And it works. But you look at, it's not working for this team. It's not working for how this team is built, and it's not working. It's not great for this league. I love this league because it is fast, fun, get it in, score, play, be aggressive. And you look at Boston and they're showing none of that.
A question I got for you before we head into the whole DraftKings stuff. DraftKings, love it or hate it, it's here. And thanks for downloading. Shouts to DraftKings. The physicality this year in this league is... they've been a huge, I don't know, spotlight on that. And it's been great to see. Do you have any barometer on any players that you think maybe that's had like an impact on negatively, or maybe they've thrived more because of that? I would think maybe just like, you know, in past iterations of the league, there wasn't that. So maybe I'm not sure how much of a big difference that makes to the players themselves.
I think it's a huge difference. Hillary Knight in her first season with the Pride, ironically enough, in the inaugural season, also did a small documentary with Red Bull. And in it, you know, she said, you know, oh, when you're mad at somebody, you make sure you finish that check. Even if hitting's not allowed, you finish that check. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, she's a player that could benefit from it if this was 2-3 years ago before she lost all that speed. So you see the faster player is benefiting from it. Callie Fratkin, I think, is benefiting from it. Callie Flanagan, I think, is benefiting from it. There are a lot of players that are, and it's helping, and there are certain players that it's hindering at the same time. So again, Hillary Knight is one of those players that it's like that. Alina Mueller is struggling with it because she's not used to getting hit in open ice, but she thrives with open ice at Northeastern. She's not getting used to hitting in open ice, and Lauren Gable's kind of the same way. I think Gable has adjusted faster and figured out how to get around it a little better. But, you know, I think it's helped the longevity of a player like Jillian Dempsey, who I think in Montreal is using some of that fourth line grit to generate some of the chances that that she generates. So I think that physicality is helping. And I think some teams like Montreal have made it their identity and put it in. And I think that's great. I think that it's helping them. And I think it also helps them get ahead of the curve. Because you sat there and you saw it and you were sitting there and you were watching. And you were a little nervous. You were like, well, what's this league going to be? Is it going to be fun? Is this, you know, this is that. And then that first game, Toronto, New York, there was a little bit of physicality. It was like, oh, this is fun. But both sides were kind of like, wow, whoa, faster, got hit. Okay, got to adjust. And Montreal played that second game and took it and ran with it. And they beat the ever-living shit out of Ottawa. And they won that game in OT, but their strategy was hit them hard, get out fast. Mm-hmm. And it worked. Teams had to adjust that. It's what gave Montreal that early edge that some teams are starting to catch up on as well. But it gave Montreal that early edge of they're not ready for us to hit them. So we're going to practice on hitting the ever-living crap out of them. Yeah. And it's benefited Montreal significantly. And even though teams have adjusted because Montreal was doing it first, they sometimes also know what you're throwing at them. It's been great strategically for PWHL Montreal.
Awesome. Cam, unless you have anything, I got fire something away. Teed up for us. All right. Thanks. Well, we know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Mention available lines and odds from the DraftKings Sportsbook app for this week's games. Please do not provide betting advice on how audience should wager. We never know when this is going to get released, so just check the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Well, actually, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Well done. Very well done, Drew.
I can't believe we're allowed to talk about the NHL.
Only if you reserve the rights, though.
Yeah, which we have. They've given us explicitly.
Thank God.
And the Shield.
Yeah. Oliver, turn it over to the other team in Boston on the men's side. Strange couple of weeks for the Bruins. A lot of questions as we lead into the trade deadline, which is Friday, right? I think. Isn't that crazy?
Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Rocky couple of weeks. A lot of, especially the West Coast trip, the overtime losses, really puzzling in many aspects of it. Sort of figured it out against old friend Bruce Cassidy, but then got smoked by a pretty bad Islanders team, to be honest with you, earlier. Or I guess that was over the weekend on Saturday. Obviously off to a good start here in this game as we record, but, you know, what's kind of your heat check there on the Bruins going into this Friday's trade deadline?
Practice makes perfect is the first thing I think right now. That West Coast road trip and even that homestead, you didn't have a ton of time to practice and adjust, because even though it was seven games, whatever it was at home, you were not hitting the rink to practice and adjust and get things right, which I think is what's showing today. B's got practice yesterday, and suddenly it's different. So you're going to the deadline. You need one more center. You do. You just need something. And it's tough because you can't get a center without giving something up. And you're dangling names like Pachka and Ullmark, which are stupid names to dangle for a trade deadline. Stop doing that. Stop dangling Jake DeBrusk. I mean, you know, so you dangle him and you go stuff, though, that's also just like stupid decisions that the front office has made. You had one guy winning faceoffs for you. You had two guys winning faceoffs for you this season. It was Matt Pachka and Johnny Beecher. So Pachka gets hurt, and you sent Beecher down. And that just doesn't sit right with me because people couldn't stop talking about the low line production from the Bruins. And then the two guys that were creating that bottom six production, one's hurt, the other you sent down. And that just was confusing to me. But Beecher also isn't a bad trade piece. I could live with it with him. I could live without him. You know, and so you're not going to get something without giving up something. And that's the thing, you know, and suddenly guys are getting locked up. But you don't need Noah Hanifin. You don't. I think that he's a good piece, but I also think that I like Carlo and Grizzlick in my top four. So you're probably getting rid of Grizzlick at some point of that deal. So yeah, that's where some of that goes, but you're not getting Noah Hanifin to be a bottom six defender, you know, and Dmitry Orlov's not coming back through that door. So you're not getting someone who's going to create some puck presence and some production on bottom four either. So it's tough going in because you need something to keep life, to breathe life. And you don't need Patrice Bergeron, but you need that top line center that can create some help, even though I think Charlie Coyle's doing a great job up top. And I think Zaka's doing a great job when he is up top, or he's in the two. You know, you want to talk about two guys that are producing this year. Coyle's got Bergeron number points, and Zaka's chasing what he can chase, you know? Mm-hmm. So you got to give something up when in reality you could still take this year and continue it to grow. You can continue to let Beecher grow. You can continue to let some of these bottom six guys kind of grow and become your next Brad Marchand's, you know? So
yeah, I've been a big fan of Beecher ever since I've been drafted him. I was kind of paying attention to all those NCAA guys a little bit closer just because that was a league that I followed, you know, compared to like WHL or whatever, which I don't think I've ever seen a full game of any of those Canadian leagues, but maybe I should. There was a point in the season where I was kind of like, okay, I could live without him. And if he's part of a bigger deal that's going to help them win this season, then sure. But still, I think he's a valuable guy. I've been questioning too, like kind of like, why isn't he, especially amidst all of this freaking just bullshit that we've seen on the ice for the past few weeks? Why isn't he getting more looks and stuff? Even if you are going to scratch him a few games in there and get some fresh bodies in, like, I don't know. I'd rather him in there than a few of the guys they've been cycling around. And I think down the line, he could be a valuable, you know, depth guy or peak of his potential, get to like that second line or something like that. But yeah, center's been rough. And as I've seen the Hanifin talk and think that would be impactful, and that's an avenue they can go. Center has just been like crying out to me in this past few weeks, where it really wasn't earlier in the season. I was pretty confident that they had Coyle and Zaka up there, and well, I'm still comfortable with their ability. It just like it drops off after that without Poitra now. Either way, I think they need to make a bigger splash, but I don't know if I would rather that be defense or offense right now.
And it's hard. You're doing both. I mean, they have these games where they're blowing teams to the freaking water by 2-3, sometimes 4 goals. And then you're also getting shut out by you didn't get shut out by the Coyotes, but teams like the Coyotes all of a sudden. And so
last night or two nights ago, Islanders, that bullshit.
Yeah. Getting pumped by the fire, by the Islanders is tough to, yeah. But before we let you go, Oliver, one more question. We've seen it obviously a lot, I think, especially more with the rumors today about Jeremy Swayman potentially getting a contract extension. How do you feel about the people who are or I guess the idea of potentially trading Linus Ullmark, is that something that you would consider, or do you think, you know, you got the best goaltending duo in the league? Why mess with that?
It's hard because if this were the off season, I'd say at some point you have to pick your number one. And a big thing that the Patriots used to always say is watch what we do, not what we say. No matter how many times Monty says, oh, we're a split 10, Jeremy Swayman's getting the minutes. And if you had to ask me now, Jeremy Swayman is your starting goalie, which is weird to say a year coming off of Vezina, that the guy that won the Vezina is kind of your backup, but that's just how good Jeremy Swayman has been. And so you have it, and you have that elite goaltending there, and you can't keep this forever. And if this was the offseason, I'd say go for it. But the thing is, you could really, really, really fuck Jeremy Swayman's juju if you trade him away. Because he is, while he claims he's not a weird goalie, he is a weird goalie, man. And a lot of stuff is mental for him. And I think what's been good for him, especially young in his career, is to have those games where the guy above him goes out and has success. And so that guy has success, or the other guy goes and has success. And so he feels good and he can come off of that. So if he has a bad game, it's all right. Ole's got his back. And I know that, and I think that's part of that 8-game spell, is he had a bad game and then Ullmark wouldn't go in and have a good one. You know, they both were kind of getting tattooed on that skin. And so it's that thing of like, do you want to mess with his mental state with it? Because for goalies, that's so fragile, you know? So you want to look at his rookie season when it was him and Vladder, but more importantly, when it was him and Tuukka. I think when he knew that if Tuukka was going to give a good performance, so he had to match it. And I think when Ullmark got here, he knew Ullmark was going to be good, so he has to match it. And when you put it on him, I think Bussy will match it. I'm not saying that he won't. But if this were the offseason, it's a different question. The offseason, yeah, I think this is the year you have to rip off the Band-Aid and make that trade. And split up the deal no matter how much we love him. But I think you got to ride one more good season of goalie hugs. And right now, they're what we're keeping you in it. You could tell when the goaltending isn't good. The Bruins aren't hot. But nothing says that this tandem can't get hot come the playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw rotating goalies in the playoffs. I think we've seen the last 2 years of Cassidy committed to Swayman, and it didn't go well in Carolina. I mean, it went okay. He bounced him back, but it didn't go great in Carolina. And Monty committed to Ullmark, and it didn't go great. And I think maybe this year you see that rotation. Mm-hmm. That might just be, if you get both of them hot, it might just be what you need. So I guess we'll see on that sense. I hate it because I know I'm going to get flack for saying split them up, especially in the offseason. But yeah, I love them. I love that duo. And they're my boys. And every time they hug, I shout, there's my boys. And it confuses the shit out of my roommates. And then along the lines of, there's my serotonin. So it's tough because they are, I don't know if my mental state could handle it come Friday. But, you know, it's kind of where we're at.
Yep. No, I agree with you. I think, you know, off season is a different story. but like you said, I think, especially in the hindsight of last season too, not making that switch until game seven, the Bruins, Monty specifically, is going to be a lot more open to the idea, I think, of rolling those two, assuming they're both playing well heading into the playoffs. So I think it's as simple as probably keeping them around is going to give you your best chance at making a run this year. And, you know, I don't think if you're a playoff team, regardless of whether or not you're setting the regular season record for points again, I think if you're a playoff team, you have to go in with the roster that's going to give you the best chance of ultimately making a run toward the cup, and keeping them both around does it. So.
And I think also, like, they're never going to have this again, or not, I shouldn't say never, but the reason these like tandems occur is because you can fit both great guys under the cap for whatever circumstance. And like Ullmark, you know, it doesn't expire this offseason. The next, he's going to want a payday for how he's playing if he continues that season. I think they got to ditch him this offseason, unfortunately. Love the guy, but it's time. Swayman's going to be the number one, and you're going to extend him and all. It was just kind of this short window of magic where it happened. And it's unfortunate last season that didn't end in a cup. Felt like it should have, obviously. I don't want to go back there at the moment. But maybe this year. But either way, yeah, ride it while you got it. It's not going beyond the season. I don't think you trade him before Friday.
No, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, we've got it's pretty to say yours. Remember your story, the stories that our parents would always tell about teams of like, well, there wasn't, they didn't win, but they had this. There was this bit of magic that our last year, this year, if they don't win it this year, is going to be Ullmark and Swayman and stuff that we're going to tell our kids. We're like, well, there were these two goalies with the Boston Bruins.
They're hugging all the time. It was sick. all right. Anything else for the people, Oliver, before we let you go?
Bring Jillian Dempsey home. Fuck the rumors. Make the call. Stop dancing around it. Bring her home. PWHL Boston needs someone like that. And all I'm saying is the top team in the women's league the last few years has always had Jolene Dempsey on it. So, you know, bring her home. Hopefully we got some cool things coming as college hockey season kind of ends for Spencer. We're hoping to gear up really for next season. And, you know, for those of you that have been wanting the pod back and all of that, we just be patient. We're coming back with a vengeance, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll have you back on to announce that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks as always, Oliver. Catch you soon.
Yeah, absolutely, guys.
Until next time.
Bye, everybody. I forgot I was here for a second.